Kia ora. Welcome to Lunch Money, the audio version of the live webinar that takes questions from our investors.
Great. Welcome to another week of Lunch Money, which is our webinar brought to you by Sharesies. At Sharesies, our purpose is to create the most financially empowered generation. I haven't been on a Lunch Money for a while, so it's really great to be back.
It's good to have you on, Sonia. So for those of you who are new to Lunch Money, we do these every Thursday at lunchtime. This is a place where you as investors can hear from some of the people leading some of the companies available on the Sharesies platform and other investing experts.
So it's not just available now live, but also as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And so also, if you are listening to the podcast, take a moment to leave a rating and a comment on the podcast. We really appreciate it. So I'm Sonia. I'm one of the co-founders and co-CEOs of Sharesies.
And I'm Alice. I am a financial analyst here at Sharesies. I sit in the investments team. So just a reminder, I was just going to say a reminder that if you have any questions, you can submit them through the Ask a Question button down below. Please don't leave any questions in the chat area as we'll likely miss these.
Great. And so nothing we talk about today is personalized advice. So investing does involve risk, and you're not guaranteed to make money, and you might lose the money you start with. With anything we talk about today isn't personalized or recommendations, and is general only and only current while we're talking about it today. And so please also, just another housekeeping, please be kind and respectful to our speakers and also your fellow viewers. If we do notice anything, we will take steps to remove you from the chat, but we hope we don't have to. So please be a good sort.
Cool. So today we are joined by Gary Roloff, who is the co-founder and managing director of Laybuy, the buy now, pay later company that's listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. So Gary's here today to chat about Laybuy and all about the buy now, pay later industry. Welcome, Gary.
And so while Gary's joining, one thing I thought, Alice, you forgot to mention in your intro that you're also the host of our Recap podcast, which is our daily podcast. How's it all going?
Yeah, that's exciting. It's exciting. No, having a lot of fun. So for those of you who might not know, we've recently launched a daily financial news podcast. So this goes out every day around every weekday around 5 p.m. I am one of the co-hosts along with Jose, who's a content producer here at Sharesies. So we just touch on a couple of financial news stories that have happened during the day.
Fantastic. And I can see Gary here now. Kia ora, Gary.
Hi, Sonia. Hi, Alice. How are you doing?
Hi, Gary. Good.
Fantastic. Great. Thanks heaps for joining us today. So to kick off, it would be great if you could just tell us a little bit about your background and your career and how you're sitting here with us today.
Oh, gosh. Well, firstly, thanks for having me on the Sharesies Lunch. And Sonia, we met some time ago as we were talking earlier. It's great to see you again. And Alice, thanks for hosting. Look, my background, I started in banking, actually. I joined the Bank of New Zealand when I left school back in Tauranga from Otamotai College, and had about 20-odd years in banking and finance roles before becoming CFO of a company called EasyBuy, who many of you may be familiar with. And I ended up being managing director of that company for 5 years. And I then ran Warehouse Stationery for 3.5 years and then Number One Shoes for 7 years prior to starting Laybuy with my wife and our two sons. So I had that career in banking and finance and retail that obviously Laybuy is a bit of a marriage of the two, really.
Yeah, amazing. And amazing career in that retail space. Huge New Zealand brands, of course. And so let's talk about Laybuy. You know, when I hear the words Laybuy, I think of, when I used to go to shops and if I couldn't afford something right, they would let me kind of pay a bit. I didn't get to take the goods home, though, I don't think at the time. I would pay it off in little installments and then get to pick up the goods. Can you tell us a bit about Laybuy, your company, and a bit about how you've grown it into the business that it is today?
Yeah, sure. So the genesis of the product is that traditional Laybuy, spelled L-A-Y-B-Y, that we all grew up with. I mean, as you can quite obviously tell, I'm considerably older than you two ladies, and I remember the traditional Laybuy quite well when I couldn't afford a pair of Levi's and used to buy my jeans and those sorts of things. So our lay-by, L-A-Y-B-U-Y, is the 21st century equivalent. And what we have said is actually, consumers, we trust you to pay us. We'll pay the retailer on your behalf, and you can pay us back interest-free, but you can take your products today. And that's what we built the business on. And as I say, my wife and I and our two sons, who were then 24 and 20, started the business 4 and a bit years ago, and we've grown it across New Zealand, Australia, and the UK. So it's been an exciting 4 and a bit years.
That is super exciting. I mean, one thing that I'm quite interested to hear about is what is it like to work with your family, and, you know, how's that changed as the business has grown?
Oh, look, I think I had the most learning to do, to be honest. You know, I'd been in that corporate world for nearly 40 years or 38 years. And, you know, when you're working with your family, no one gives a damn that you've got CEO on your business card. You're just Dad or Gary, you know, and just get on with it. And it's been great. Look, we're blessed with having two great boys who are, well, they're men, who've just got in behind what Robin and I wanted to do. We mortgaged everything we owned to drive the business, and they got in behind us and helped us. Our eldest son's wife works with us, and our youngest son's girlfriend works with us too. So it's genuinely a family affair. That's for real.
No doubt. There's some pretty interesting dinner conversations.
Oh, there's some pretty intense conversations at times, yeah. It's a bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah, I bet. Cool. So just going back to lay-by and the way that the business works, can you talk a little bit about the business model and, you know, if the customer takes the goods and then pays them off over time, you know, how do you actually make money as a business?
Yeah, sure. So, look, just using simple maths, you know, if the purchase price is, say, $120, and we might pay the retailer today $115 for that purchase, and the consumer pays us $20 a day and $20 a week for the subsequent 5 weeks. So, effectively, you could look at it as we buy the product at a discount from the retailer and sell it to the consumer at full price.
Right. And is that model quite standard across industry? Is that how most buy now, pay later companies work?
Yeah. Everyone works under the same regime.
Cool. Yeah, cool. And so it's a bit of a growing industry, isn't it? It's got its own acronym. I'm probably going to mess this up, but BNPL, which I think I'm hearing around lots of places. But first, you had a bit of an announcement yesterday. We announced your quarterly results. Do you want to just tell us a bit about that and some maybe the key points from the announcement?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Sonia. Yeah, we report quarterly as we have to as a listed entity. And yesterday we announced our June quarter results, which is our first quarter for the new financial year. We're a 31 March financial year. And look, our business is up 60% year on year in GMV, which is our equivalent of sales, gross merchandise value. In the UK, it's more than doubled. We're up 107%. And the good thing for us is our active customers in the UK, which is our growth engine, to be fair, they are up 143% and our active merchants up 400%. So we've really, really grown a lot in the UK and carved ourselves out a position as one of the three major players up there. And it's a huge market. You know, it's £400 billion, that's pounds, in retail. And so the penetration of BNPL, as you quite rightly pronounce,
is it really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah. Doesn't really, but yeah, it's about 3 or 4%. So we've got a heck of a runway in front of us over there, and you know, we were living up there, so we moved up there in August 2018. Robin and I and our youngest son Alex, and came back here for the Southern Hemisphere summer in January of 2020, and we're still here. So it's been an awful long summer from then.
Wow, who could have predicted that? Amazing. So when you talk about the growth, and you, I can't remember the number you said about the size of the UK, but what do you think sparked all the growth in this buy now, pay later industry or sector, however we describe it?
Well, I think the reality is the traditional lay-by was a very, very popular thing amongst consumers. And retail changed, you know, retail changed into what is known as a high-low pricing regime. So you know, things go on special and then a couple of weeks later they might not be and whatnot. And what was happening to retailers, and I'll use the Levi's jeans that I used to buy as an example, you'd put them on traditional lay-by at $120. 3 weeks later, they'd be on special and at $80. The consumer would come in and say, oh, I'm going to cancel my lay-by. Thank you. Now put those jeans back on lay-by at $80. So the retailer was always getting bashed around because consumers are savvy. And so the traditional lay-by model became expensive for the retailer and highly administrative for them. Also, there was a working capital issue. The retailer wasn't getting paid. It was getting paid over time. So I think this new model has really resonated with consumers. Credit card usage and adoption is in decline because the interest rates are very high. And, you know, with our two sons, they didn't have credit cards. And neither did their friends. You know, they didn't want credit cards, but they wanted access to a credit product that was interest-free. And that's what we've offered them. That's why it works. Customers like the interest-free model.
Yeah, and you've talked about the UK and obviously the global, but we see this a lot in Australia. Do you know why Australia feels like, or is that even what's happening? You know, is Australia the biggest growth? And why do you think that? Why do you think this is taking off so much in Australia specifically?
Well, that's where it all started, I guess. I mean, ironically, when I was at EasyBuy back in the early 2000s, we thought about doing an EasyBuy lay-by along the lines that we've done this. And I put a paper to the board about it, but it just didn't really suit that business model. They were about buying and selling apparel and homeware. So I'd watched what was happening with Klarna up in the UK and Affirm in the US, and obviously I'd seen what the competitors were doing over in Australia, and that's where this latest model was born. You know, was in Australia and very rapidly came across the Tasman. Obviously, we were ahead of some of our Australian competitors at lay-by and getting ourselves up and running. So you then go up to the Northern Hemisphere, and when we arrived in London in 2018, no one was doing what we were doing. So the adoption has been rapid because it just makes sense for consumers and the retailers are benefiting, and it just works and consumers love it. So, yeah, it's fascinating, really.
Yeah, and just looping back around to the quarterly results being something you need to do as a listed company, because Levi is a listed company. Yeah. You listed on the ASX late last year. Can you tell us about why you chose to list on the ASX when you're a Kiwi company?
Yeah, sure. Look, it was a decision that we didn't take lightly, and we got a lot of advice just about listing itself, let alone which exchange. Because, again, we were living in London at that time, and the thought was, well, do we list on the AIM? Because that's where our growth engine's going to be in the UK. But Australia is the most sophisticated buy now, pay later market in the world. And outside of Affirm, all the listed buy now, pay laters are on the ASX. So if you're going to set yourself up against the best, you better be alongside the best. And that's what we were advised to do, and that's what we've done.
That's interesting. And I think, you know, there's some other companies, New Zealand-based companies, that have done similar things where they've gone and listed on the ASX because that's where some of their competitors are. Now, one thing you mentioned before was around how lay-by is a form of credit for consumers. Yes. Now, that is a form of debt and something that, you know, when there's financial products, usually there's forms of regulation involved with them. Do you fall under any regulation?
Alice, we don't at present. We are an unregulated product because we never charge interest.
Okay.
And we're unregulated in New Zealand, Australia, and the UK. There is a regulatory wind blowing through the sector, as we're all aware. We have participated in discussions with the Woolard Review people up in the UK. I recently met the Minister, Honourable David Clark, down in Wellington with other industry representatives. And look, there is a lot of talk about regulation for the sector, and I don't think regulation is bad per se. but I think it needs to be appropriate for the problem it's trying to solve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that some of the myths around buy now, pay later are interesting. You know, when we spoke to the minister, for instance, our default rates are under 1% in New Zealand. Our average order value is $140. We're not seeing people borrowing thousands and thousands of dollars here. It's $140 payable over 6 weeks, you know. And when you put that into context, that provides people with a lot more comfort around what we're doing. And lay-by credit checks every single person that applies for a lay-by account, because one of our values is all around being a responsible lender. And, you know, debt's fine. Offering credit is fine so long as it's offered responsibly and borrowed responsibly. So there is responsibility on both parties, but we are one of the buy now pay laters that always credit checks.
It's pleasing to hear that you've got some sort of guardrails in place, and also, as you say, it's the ensuring that people are borrowing responsibly, and then you as the provider of that service have those checks in place. Is my other question for you is that the case overseas as well with the regulation? And secondly, how easy or difficult is it to expand into other markets? You know, consumers might have different attitudes towards this type of thing.
Yeah, look, I'll answer your first question first, Alice. The Woolard review up in the UK was all about what is the appropriate regulation for the sector. And, you know, the recommendations to the FCA were around advertising standards, which have already been implemented. And the other suggestion was that buy now, pay later providers credit and affordability check customers and also participate in a continuous credit regime, which means the reporting back into that credit bureau pool, so that you're not getting customers just going around every buy now, pay later provider and loading up on every single one, because then there's visibility, right? So we're already doing that. We're already fully integrated with the world's first or second largest credit bureau called Experian. And we did that before we even launched in the UK. So we're pretty ambivalent around whether or not that regulation is brought into play. But I think it's a good idea, because I believe that we should be responsible in what we do. Your second question, how hard is it to get into a new market? Australia was relatively straightforward. You know, we were supporting and still do New Zealand retailers that have a presence or shipped into Australia. So they are our cousins. That's just the way it kind of works. Going up to the UK was a really interesting experience. I mean, having grown up and lived and worked in New Zealand all my life, New Zealand genuinely is a village. You know, we all do know someone who knows someone that knows you, right? And so having worked in the retail sector for 16 odd years as a CEO, the network I had made growing in New Zealand relatively straightforward, right? Our strategic plan when we launched in May of 2017 was to have 200 retailers on our platform by June 2019, so in 2 years. We did that in 2 months, and so it just took off, right? But when we landed in the UK, we didn't have a network. So Robin and I and Alex landed up there with a suitcase each. She had two, because ladies tend to not travel light, or my wife doesn't anyway. And we booked into a hotel for a fortnight and said, okay, now we've got to find somewhere to live, somewhere to work, and some customers to pay for it. And away we went. And, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, we must have been mad, because we had no customers, but we just worked really, really hard and put ourselves out there, met a lot of people, started to get some traction, and away we went. And so, yeah, it's not easy, but it's satisfying when you can actually pull it off. It's great.
Yeah, amazing. So talking about, you know, the regulation is one part of entering a market and being successful. And you talk about what it was like to start in the UK, you know, from just going out and talking to people. The competition's another kind of piece of how to be successful in a market. And can you tell us a bit about, I guess, the competition landscape globally and how you navigate that? Like, what's lay-by's secret sauce, I guess, around how you plan to win against the competition.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell you about our secret sauce because then it wouldn't be secret. but no, in all seriousness, look, the reality is competition's a great thing because it raises the awareness of what you're trying to do. And I was talking to a journalist earlier today, you know, who mentioned the fact that, oh, you know, you've got some big brands out there saying they're going to do buy now, pay later, like PayPal and Apple. And my response was, well, if those companies are looking at this, we must be doing something, right? Because they're certainly validating what we're doing, right? So I've never worried about the competition. I think the philosophy we've always had is, look, always respect your competitors. And I've had this in business all my life. But play your own game and run your own race, because as soon as you play the competitor's game, they'll win because they know it better. So we set out to differentiate ourselves on a number of different pillars. The first one I've already spoken to was we've credit checked everyone from the day we started our business, and that was important to us to be responsible and demonstrate being responsible. It's become a little bit de rigueur of recent times, and that's amusing when we've been on the sideline doing this thing for a long while, and others are now coming to that party. But the other thing, and most obvious, is that we are a weekly payment cycle provider. Our competitors are fortnightly or monthly, or tend to be. And that differentiates us, obviously, on the payment cycle. That suits some people, just as fortnightly or monthly suits others. But from a retailer's perspective, you've got to offer your consumer that choice. You can't decide for them. You need to provide those consumers with that choice, and we become one of them alongside a fortnightly and a monthly, which is what we do in the UK pretty successfully. We've also got a couple of other products that were unique to Lay-By and still are. We have a product called Lay-By Boost, which means you can spend more than your Lay-By limit in one seamless transaction, provided you pay the excess to your limit today. So simple example, you get a lay-by limit of $100 and you want to buy something for $157, pay $57 today and then $20 a week for the next 5 weeks. You know, we call that lay-by boost. And then we're currency agnostic. So when we first went up to the UK, I could offer UK retailers access to our Australasian database if they shipped there and they didn't need an Australian or New Zealand website or an Australian New Zealand bank account. We paid the retailer in pounds and received Aussie or Kiwi off the consumer. So we're the only buy now pay later in the world that can do that globally. So there's just those little things that we offer that are different.
That's interesting. I didn't know about being able to access those stores that are in different markets. Interesting. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask about, you just mentioned about credit limits and stuff. How do you actually determine what someone's credit limit is? And, you know, when you offer those things like Boost, you know, how do you ensure that that's going to be responsible for that person?
Yeah, sure. So Boost is in the consumer's control because the credit limit's already set for them and what they want to spend up front on their affordability. We are integrated in New Zealand with a company called Centrix, and their strategic partner actually is Experian, who they introduced us to and we've integrated with. But Centrix have been, I can't speak highly enough of Centrix. They have been absolutely sensational to us. And to demonstrate how small a world New Zealand is, the managing director and owner of Centrix is a guy called Keith McLaughlin. Keith and I met each other when I was 25, when I was in the Bank of New Zealand and did some business with him when he owned a company called Baycorp. So, you know, New Zealand's tiny when... So what happens is we're integrated with Centrix. Someone who signs up to our platform gives us their name, address, cell phone number, date of birth, and email address. And as fast as they've typed that in, we've triggered a query at Centrix, and they send us back a score. That score is a function of all the data points they hold on that individual. And against that score is a probability of default built into that, right? We use our algorithms against that probability of default to assign a lay-by limit. And that limit might range from $120 to $1,500, depending on your credit score. So that's how we do it.
And is that the limit that you can get on lay-by, $1,500?
That's the highest one, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So looking forward from here, knowing that it's such a growing industry, huge brands like Apple and PayPal mentioning they're moving into this space, can you tell us what's exciting you at the moment, or what's next for Laybuy when you look forward into the future?
We started with a dream of creating a ubiquitous global brand. And, you know, Sonia, you've set up your business in New Zealand. You know that we're a country of 5 million people. If you want to create a global business, you can start it here, but you've got to have the ability to scale. So you build your products that are scalable, and we've done that. Our dream is to create the same dominance in the UK that we enjoy in New Zealand. And we are one of the dominant players in New Zealand, and we're very proud of that because we're proudly New Zealanders, you know. But in taking your product global, you have to have an open mind as to where you focus your efforts and energy, because you could become schizophrenic and try and do too many things at once. And so we're very squarely focused on the UK right now. I mean, the size of that market's £400 billion at retail. I think grocery within that's about 150 billion, and we don't do grocery. So if you strip that out, it's a 250 billion pound market. And the buy now, pay later penetration is about 3% or so. We've just gone in store throughout the UK with Marks and Spencer. WH Smith. We are going in store with many of the JD Sports brands. So we've got in store and online as part of our armory. And that's where we want to focus. I think people underestimate the size of the UK market. Everyone sort of looks across at the US and says, oh, that's the holy grail. Well, actually, the UK is massive. And I don't know if either of you have lived up in the UK, but it can be pretty dreary during winter. And there's not an awful lot more to do than find a nice warm pub and have a pint or go shopping. So, it is a shopping mecca. And that's where we want to focus our attention for now.
Yeah, that's such an interesting challenge. Going global, you know, that sounds hugely exciting. But you mentioned that you're a dominant player in New Zealand. How do you manage, I guess, not losing that dominant position in New Zealand while also kind of putting your focus towards the UK?
Well, we're blessed with having just great people here that look after the New Zealand business. You know, we have a general manager for Australasia, a lady called Mandy Tomlinson. She's outstanding and very focused on growing this part of the world business. And that's where her and her team put all their effort and energy. So, look, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And we're lucky. We've just got awesome people. Awesome people. You know, my focus has been obviously on that UK growth engine, but living back in New Zealand on account of COVID has given me the opportunity to look at where else we can be better at what we do from a product perspective, customer service, all those things. So, yeah, it's exciting though. It really is.
Yeah, an amazing few years of growth you've had. Alice, do you want to? Alice, do you want to take us to Q&A?
Sure thing. Cool. So Gary, we've got a couple of questions here. Sure. From people who have been listening in. Now, this first one here is from Tim. You have touched on this a little bit, but if there's anything further to add. So, hi, Gary. I note that the BNPL area is becoming increasingly crowded here and overseas. How do you differentiate Laybuy from your competitors?
Yeah, hi, Tim. Thanks for the question. I think I've answered the differentiation one in terms of the various things we offer. But, you know, there is a lot of noise about new players coming into the market. And look, I welcome competition. I think that's great. I'm not worried at all about the Apple Pays and the PayPals of the world coming in because, as I say, it validates what we do. Where our focus is making sure that Laybuy is front of mind for consumers and rolling out our tap to pay across New Zealand, Australia and the UK is really differentiating us because our product is different to the others that are out there offering that service. And we will just continue to innovate and evolve and focus on doing what's best for our customers.
Awesome. Now, the next question, it's around customers and sort of customer retention. So from Duncan, hi, Gary, on holiday in Aussie, plenty of press for lay-by and competitors. What's your strategy to make customers stick? Pretty easy to join up with more than one provider.
Yeah, look, Duncan, hi. I used to know a Duncan Blakey many, many years ago when I was in the Bank of New Zealand. I'm not sure if it's the same Duncan, but if it is, hi, it's been a long time. Look, what we focus on is a metric around repeat customer percentages, and they continue to increase for us. In New Zealand, our repeat customers as a percentage of our GMV or sales are 72%, and in the UK, it's 62%. And, you know, we've only been in the UK really since 2019. So we find that that repeat customer thing is an important piece. Yes, customers can have more than one buy now, pay later account, but I don't worry about that either, so long as our active customer numbers are growing and our repeat customer percentages are growing. So I'm not really worried about it. We have some things in our pipeline that we want to roll out to our consumers that we hope will resonate with them around a loyalty program, etc. But right now, it's a watch this space. We're in beta, and you know, that's just the way we've got to be at the moment.
Cool, thank you. And another question from Tim. Some good questions coming through here. So, hi, Gary. What are the short? What are the short, medium, and long-term growth plans for lay-by, and how do you think these will counteract some of the competition?
Yeah, look, the short, medium, long-term for us is all about the UK. We are cementing our position in New Zealand, and there's some stuff we're rolling out very shortly in New Zealand that I think will demonstrate what I mean by that. Australia is an interesting market for us. It's not one that we see as a strategic imperative because it is the most competitive market in the world, bar none. But what we are finding since listing and as we have gained more larger retailers that are trans-Tasman, we're getting more inbound inquiry from big retailers in Australia to add lay-by because we are recognised as a solid provider. But our focus right now is the UK market. As I was saying, it's under-penetrated, offers huge scope for us. We've partnered with Manchester United and Manchester City football clubs, for instance. We have access to a fan base of those two clubs combined alongside Arsenal and others of 27 million fans in the UK. That's why we went into the sponsorship, because we now have access to the fans, and we're selling Manchester United and Manchester City. We're offering buy now, pay later for their merchandise for the new season kit. So it's pretty exciting where we can go now. And the in-store thing shouldn't be underestimated. There's a lot of activity on the high street despite the fact of COVID and the switch to online.
Well, I didn't know about those football deals. I mean, I'm not much of a footballer, but I do recognise those names. So yeah. Quite big ones.
They are big.
27 million audience, as you say. Now, this one here is a question from Mohan. They say, how do you view the competition of banks getting into this field, either directly or by buying companies which are already operating?
Oh, Mohan, that's a great question. And, you know, it's fair to say that we've had conversations with a number of banks around how buy now, pay later and banks can collaborate. I think what's really interesting is that the banks have recognised that what we do is something that their customers are loving, and their tech stacks and the way they are regulated makes it very difficult for them to emulate what we're doing. So getting alongside us rather than trying to beat us is the way to go. Yeah, I think this is, it'll be interesting to watch over the next few months what sort of partnerships pop up and who with and where. So yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, and I think I saw something the other day that Afterpay is pairing up with Westpac.
In Australia, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, have done for some time.
Right. Now, another interesting question here, one around interest rates. So, hi, Gary, how do you cope with rising interest rates when you don't pass on the cost to the end consumers?
Oh, look, interest is only a very, very small cost in our business model. And the reason for that is, as a weekly payment cycle provider, we're the most efficient buy now, pay later market in the provider in the world in terms of capital efficiency, because we spin our book so fast. So our duration on our average loan is 2.5 weeks. And so we turn our capital about 24 times a year. So really, I've modeled our break evens at interest rates in double digits, and it's fine. I'm not worried about it. It's not a big deal for us, interest.
Great. And another one, do you carry out AML checks when you sign up new customers?
It is the law, and we do. Yes, we have no choice. That is part of the compliance that we have to abide. Yep.
Yeah, very important part of any sort of financial institution, sure. As we know here at ShareZ.
Yes.
Yeah. Just de-jargoning that for a second. So that's anti-money laundering. That's what AML stands for, just in case anyone listening hadn't heard the acronym before.
Well, thanks, Sonia. now we just have one last question here. It's more actually around investing, so probably one for Sonia and I. It says, hi, how do I know what is a good investment? I have just started my investing journey and I still have a lot to learn. Now, just a reminder that we can't offer any personalised financial advice today, but on the ShareZ blog, we have lots of educational resources around how to get started investing, learning what different things mean, and some tools that you can use to help you get started on your investing journey. So I'd point you in the direction of there in the ShareZ website. Sonia, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I think if you're really getting started, it's picking an amount you can afford to invest, spreading your investment across a range of things, so making sure you're really diversified, and then really considering how long you're looking to invest for. And those kind of things really help you identify and then choose what you'd like to invest with. Typically talk about investing in things that interest you or align to your values as well, because it's a really, there's lots of companies out there doing things. So think of, if you like what they're doing in 10 years time and can kind of get behind that. But so many great resources on the blog that help you really find out what's good for you, because that's really what it's all about.
Cool. Great insights here. Awesome. So that is us for today. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. And Gary, thank you so much for your time. This has been such an interesting conversation. I've really enjoyed learning more about your industry and your company and even your career journey. It's a really fascinating background that you've got in the retail space. So next Thursday, we will be joined by Tamura Wera-Hall from Tahito Funds. So that's an ethical fund manager, and they use Māori values and principles and behaviours as the fund's foundation.
Yeah, and so you can register for that in the chat. We've popped a link in. Yep, it's there. And also, if you can't wait till next week, because you've got to hear more from us, please do check out our new daily financial news podcast, which is called Recap, co-hosted by Alice over here, who's done a fantastic job today. So, yep, you get to hear from Alice every day. So it's about 10 minutes long and published at 5 p.m. on Monday to Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Thanks again, Gary. Great to see you again. And thanks for telling us and answering all the questions and sharing what you're up to and the exciting future ahead.
Thank you, Sonia. And thank you, Alice. And congratulations to everyone at ShareZ as to what you're achieving. I think you guys are awesome. As I say, we met some time ago. We were both pretty early on in our journeys together, and you've just smashed it. So congrats. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, we've enjoyed having you here. So, yeah, hope everyone enjoys their weekend, and we'll see you next week.
For more info, visit www.sharesies.nz or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Ka kite anō. Take care and happy investing.